Let's lift our hands a moment and love him. Just stand to your feet all over this building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He draws nigh to us when we worship him. Can we just take a moment? Can you tell him you love him? I love you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you died for my sins, for the sins of all mankind. Thank you, Lord. You are my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace. You're the Rose of Sharon. You're the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You're all in all to me. Everything I need, I find in you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, dig a little deeper. Give him some praise this morning. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We've come, Lord, to worship you today. That's why we're here, to worship you. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feels really good in here today. When you worship him, he comes in to inhabit our praise. Hallelujah. And he is here. This is my favorite weekend of the year. When I get finished this year, I will have been in 48 churches, 2 foreign countries. And the Lord has been so good. Many, many filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many baptized in his name. Lots of healing. Lots of miracles. Lots of deliverance. And so I know that he has a plan for this service, but it's always good to be home. I have 2 daughters and 2 son-in-laws here today and 7 grandchildren. One of them was screaming Meemaw from that back corner a moment ago. That doesn't happen to me anywhere else. A lot of people get to go to church with their families every week. I do not. It's a small sacrifice to pay for what I see the Lord do. But I am so very thankful when I get to be home with you. I love you. This is home. I'm doing something I've done before, just so you know, I don't have dementia. Most of you have seen that little boat a few times. Matter of fact, I keep very good records. 2013, that little boat was sitting right there in Jesusville 27 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that morning. So why wouldn't I get that little boat out of storage again? And if you have never seen that little boat before, I want you to raise your hand in the air high where I can see you. You've never seen it before. So, church folks, look around you. That's why it's out again. It's not for you. It's for somebody that's never seen it. And hopefully for someone who doesn't know this message, that today will be their day. Amen? Today as I speak, Pastor Roy is my covering, and most of all, our dear Bishop, John Grant. I've been coming here since 1998. I told somebody yesterday, I don't know why they keep letting me speak. I don't have anything new to say. I'll just try to rearrange it. But I'm surely grateful for this opportunity. And these brethren on the platform, all of you, I am submitted to you today and under your covering. It's really important to me. I'm going to step into the anointing of these great men. Acts chapter 2. Setting the stage for what was going on here. Jesus had died and resurrected on the 3rd day like he said he would. And he told them, go to an upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. They didn't know what that promise was going to be. I'm sure there were some who said, I'm not going to that upper room. I don't even know what he's talking about. There were people that said, I got a wedding to go to. I have things I got to do today. I got to mow the grass. They didn't go to the upper room. They missed out. There were 120 there that did go. So you'll have a choice today whether you want to come to the upper room, the altar. You'll have a choice. They made the right choice and they came. And they were sitting there. They didn't know what to do. They were praying. Bible says in the 1st chapter, they were just sitting there praying. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost began to move in that room. And when the author was describing it, he said, it was like a mighty rushing wind filled the house. Cloven tongues like as a fire set on each of us. And we were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and we started speaking in another language. That's what in tongues means. And so when they went out of that room, they were changed. They were all filled, everybody. So it's the Lord's will today that all of us are filled before we leave here. They walked out of there and they were staggering around. They were giggling. They were talking funny. You know, the problem with us is when we walk out of here, we compose ourselves and we're not as drunk as we're supposed to be. We'd ever get as drunk as we're supposed to be, we'd win our world. Because what happened was that people start asking questions. Why are you drunk? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They said, we're not drunk like you think. Let me tell you what just happened to us. They started telling them. And what the people said was, can I have that? We left here drunk today and went to the Olive Garden. People be saying, why are you acting like that? We're going to have to call security. Oh, no. Let me tell you what happened at church today. It's Holy Ghost Sunday. Peter had an answer. He was there. Peter said, you want this? Verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So the reason why you need to do what I'm telling you is what he was saying. The reason why you need to do this is because you want to be saved. And nobody can save you but you. He said, save yourselves. Untoward means crooked, perverse. So today somebody needs to make a decision to save yourself. Title of my message today is Save Yourself. You may be seated. Save yourself. Sitting up here on this table is a lifeboat. It is a real lifeboat. This little boat came from Millington, Tennessee, 28 years ago. This boat has been on tables all across the United States of America. It's been on a table in Africa, in Paris, France, in Guam, in Australia, but it's never been on water. I always say I'm the only one on the airplane that has their own life raft if this thing goes down. Because this is a real life raft. It is a military-grade life raft. How that came about is God was giving me a message. I presented it to a pastor friend of mine when I was ministering for their church, and I was telling him about a vision God had given me of a little boat sitting on a table, and it had a blue cloth, and it had some netting around it, and God had given me this vision, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. I think I'll go to Walmart and get a little life raft, you know, something like that, and I could tell he was really thinking. I had gone home, and I lived about an hour from that church in Tennessee at the time, and he gave me a call about a week later. I'd like for you to come stop by the church. Let me know when you'll be there, because I have purchased a life raft for the ministry. He said the Navy base here in Millington is closing down, and they had all of their things on sale there, and they had one life raft left. So I made that trip. I took the seats out of my van. I was hauling other things from the church and working and going to get groceries. And so I went and picked up this little life raft. It was folded in a very neat little square. I tried to pay for it. He would not allow it. He donated it to the ministry. And so I opened the back of my van and I laid it in the back. It is over 100 degrees that day in Tennessee, middle of summer, and I drive to the grocery store, and I'm thinking the whole way there, I forgot to ask how you blow that up. I didn't find out, is there a pump? Is there a canister? How do you blow this particular raft up? And so I got groceries, and I came out to the van with a cart full of groceries, and when I opened the back hatch of the van, I found out how it blows up. It filled the entire back of the van because it was made to blow up. When you throw it over the side of the ship or out of the aircraft, it will blow up in the hot sun. So when it's not sunny, there is a canister it came with that they would not let me have to blow it up. I blow it up with a hand pump. It takes 867 pumps. So don't mess with me. I've been blowing that up for 28 years. I'm not really in my message yet, in case you can tell. I'm just rambling. And the pink sides that you see will roll up over the soldier's head to protect him from the wind and the rain and the hot sun. This is a lifeboat. It is called a lifeboat because when the big ship is out at sea and it's sinking, when the aircraft is falling out of the sky, that soldier knows there is a life raft. There's a way of escape. That's why they call it a lifeboat. It's going to preserve life. My boat is called the New Lifeboat. Because when you give your heart to Jesus, when you experience Pentecost in your own life, like we read about today, you get a brand new life. You get to start all over. You get to go back to the beginning with a clean slate. You get to start with a clean heart. And so looking at our scripture text today, Peter was telling them, you're interested in this, you want this, this is the way you do it, but you must make the decision that you're going to save yourself. Nobody else can save you. We often say, Jesus saved me, I'm saved. Are you saved? Oh yes, I'm saved. That is not a true statement. He died on the cross to provide that salvation. He is our Savior. He paid the price. However, we are not saved until we cross over on the other side into heaven's gates. That's when we can say, I'm saved. We're not saved until we get there. We're going to fight this flesh until the day we die or Jesus comes and takes us up. So making that decision to save yourself is an everyday thing, sometimes an every moment thing. I'm going to save myself. No one can save you. You're not going to heaven because your mama's going, your daddy's going, your grandpa believed this. You're not going because you're sitting on the pew. You won't go because you're paying your tithe and offering. You're not going to heaven any other way but the way of salvation that we read about today. And most of you all have already experienced that. But may I say to you that it's a real good thing in this last hour to take a look at your life and say, am I indeed in the lifeboat? Am I really a part of the church? Am I getting in and out, or am I really living this? There is no time greater than right now to make a commitment. I'm going to be all in because Jesus is coming. You see, when that soldier joins the military, when he signs up, he signs a big packet of paperwork. They have to know everything about him. And then at the bottom of that paperwork, he signs his name and makes a commitment. And what he's really saying is, they own me now. They're going to give me a place to stay. They're going to give me a paycheck. They'll even educate me. But now I belong to them. They're going to always know where I am. I'm not going to be out somewhere alone and they don't know where I am. They're going to know where I am. There's a certain amount of security in that. But they decide to give up their life for the cause. It is much the same when you come to an old-fashioned altar and you say, Jesus, here I am. I'm giving you my life. I'm telling you how to get in the boat today, how to save yourself. There's only one way. There aren't two or three ways. There's only one way to be saved. It's very plain in Scripture. You'll hear a lot of different voices that will tell you all different ways. The Bible says people have teachers. They go to the televangelists. They go to different churches. They do read different Bible studies. They study different things, and they get all confused. There's no confusion in this. It's simple. But you have to decide, I'm going to do what the Bible says. What I'm telling you today is coming right out of the Word. You can't argue with that. The Bible says you'll heap to yourself teachers. Tell me what I want to hear. Make this easy, because I don't want to sign my life away, so make this easy. Oh, no, it won't cost you anything to become part of the church, but it'll cost you everything to stay in. It's a commitment. You sign that paperwork. I belong to you now. You own me. I'm not my own. I want you to direct my paths. I want my future to look like what you wanted it to look like. I'm not making my own decisions. I belong to you. And Jesus in turn says, I'll always know where you are. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always take care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. I'm going to make you some promises. I'll educate you. I'll feed you. I'll provide a place for you to live. I'll always be there for you. And I'm going to come and get you. Hallelujah. You can't ask for more than that. So how do you get in? You didn't think I'd come without my hearts, did you? This is probably the 2000's 21st set. All you have to do is bring your heart. It's how you sign the paperwork. Just come to the altar. Say, Lord, here I am. I realize I'm not getting to heaven on my own. I got to be saved. Then Peter said unto them, repent. What's that look like? That looks like being really sorry and meaning it. That looks like turning away from your old life and trying not to do those things anymore. Repentance is not just, I'm sorry I got caught, and going back and doing it over and over and over. Repentance is, here's my heart, Lord. I want to give it to you. The minute that you really repent, you are allowing him to go into your heart. He won't go in there until you invite him. He's a perfect gentleman. You have to use your voice. You have to ask him with your mouth. You have to confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You have to use your mouth and confess. While you're repenting, if something comes to your mind, confess it. He will. He'll quicken your mind. You know, that business of saying, well, Lord, if I've done anything this day that has hurt you or offended you, if I've sinned this day, please forgive me, God. How many have ever prayed that prayer? I have. And the Lord smote me one night while I was doing that. If I've done anything today, God. And you know what? It's sort of like any relationship. If you're intimate with the Lord, and you really love him and he loves you, and you're talking with him intimately, and you don't want your husband or your wife to say, well, dear, if I did anything today that hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Really? You know what you did. Can't bring yourself to at least say, I'm sorry I snapped at you? That's how God feels. Well, if I did anything, Lord. No, we know when we fail. We know when we do wrong. The Bible says confess it. I'm sorry I acted like a jerk when I was driving today, Lord, and I lost my cool. I'm sorry that I was listening to that radio broadcast that wasn't clean. I'm sorry, Lord, that I strayed over into pornography today. I'm sorry, Lord, that I said a cuss word today. I'm talking about confession. I'm telling you how to be saved. Day to day confession. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to do that anymore. You know, feeling so guilty that you just hide it won't work. If you confess it After a while, you won't be doing it anymore. You'll quit it. Confession. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. I'm telling you, the moment you ask, he's not like everybody else. You and I, we're real hard on each other. You look in my heart and I look in yours. You did all that? You better cry some more. That's how we treat each other. We shouldn't, but we do. So quick to be judgmental. So quick to place blame. We need to quit that. We're all trying to get to the same place. We're all trying to be in the boat, be in the church. We need to quit being judgmental and critical. And we need to quit listening to people that are judgmental and critical and lying. Something ought to come over you when somebody starts talking bad about Calvary Gospel. Something ought to wash over you. It does me. And I stand about 6 inches taller. And I say, hey, that's my church. I know what goes on there. I'm not listening to that. That's what should happen. Amen. With one sweep of his hand, he cleans all of that out. And it makes a mess because sin makes a mess. But you're set free. All of that is behind you. I'm telling you how to save yourself today. A clean heart. You won't go to heaven with a dirty heart. Get all that out of there. Oh, I made a mess. Because sin makes a mess. And it's going to be right there until you make up your mind. I want to be in the boat. I want to be saved. And you go to the baptismal tank. And you let them take you down in the name of Jesus. There's no other name. No other name. Don't let somebody baptize you some other way. It's not even in here. Baptizing babies is not in here. I'm sorry if that makes you mad, but it's not in there. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's not in there. They're misquoting, and it's in the name of. The name is Jesus. We're supposed to do it in the name. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not in the boat. If you're not sure what they said when they put you down, then don't wait another Sunday. Say, please baptize me. I need to hear you say in Jesus' name. If you don't remember being baptized, somebody told you were, you don't remember, let them do it again. You're trying to get a brand new start in your life and you messed up so bad and you just want to be baptized again. You don't have to be, but do it again. I'm just saying, get in the boat. Whatever that looks like, you got to be baptized in the name. You're not going to heaven without the name applied. When Peter was talking to him, he told him that. And he said, you shall. You said you wanted what we just got. This is how you do it. You shall receive the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of a brand new heart. The Bible says he takes away our stony heart and he gives us a brand new heart. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't want a brand new heart? Some of you still think you're living with that old one. You're not. You know why you think you're still living with this one and you feel empty? Because you haven't realized that he doesn't only forgive, but he forgets. He doesn't remember this one. Time for you to forgive yourself and accept what he's done for you. Accept your new heart. None of that has anything to do with this new heart. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it today, when I give the altar call, you're going to come get in the boat. I don't mean that little boat. I mean up here in the altar. You're going to get in the church. It's going to be so easy. When he fills you with the Holy Ghost, he fills you according to your personality. If you're quiet, you can get it real nice and quiet. Nobody has to touch you. I'll make sure they don't. But if you're loud and you're sanguine and you want to jump around and you want it to get in your hands, it will. It'll get in your feet. It goes wherever you allow it. People fall out on the floor because it gets all over them. And that's okay too. But don't be afraid of it. And you can't do it wrong. You can't say the words wrong. Whatever words come to your mind. Listen, when my little grandson's back there, they had to take them out because they cry for me when I'm up here. Isn't that cool? When my little grandson starts jabbering, and I remember Gabriella, my oldest, she's going to be 14 soon. And when she started talking, she was the first, and she said, I said, she said meemaw. Did you hear that? I was really ready to accept. And we're going to be really ready to accept when you start babbling that it doesn't matter what it sounds like. It's a sound of a newborn baby crying. And it doesn't matter what utterance comes out. It's going to be your Holy Ghost experience. And it wasn't very long till went to meemaw. Now you can't keep her from talking. She's Gabby. You know what I'm saying? It'll grow. Your prayer language will grow. You don't worry about what it sounds like. Don't get hung up on it. You can't do it wrong. When you come, Jesus is going to fill you. This is sort of what it looks like. He fills you all the way to the top. The Bible calls it rivers of living water. He fills you and fills you. And just when you think you can't handle it anymore because it feels so wonderful, he keeps filling and filling until it gets right here. And your lip and tongue might wiggle, or it might not. Some people it does, some people it doesn't. But the words will come to your mouth, your mind, and you'll say them out of your mouth. You know, when we're talking, we have a choice. Words come to our mind before they come out. We have to process them up here. But it's not very long. You don't have much time to stop them. Some people can't stop them at all. And when you're receiving the Holy Ghost, those strange sounds come to your mind, and you have a split second. And in that second, the devil says, you're making that up. The devil says, that's way too easy. That couldn't be the Holy Ghost. The devil says, that doesn't sound like that person praying with you. Well, remember, you're talking baby talk. They're talking grown-up talk. You don't have to sound like them. You have a choice right at that moment. And what you do is you dismiss those thoughts and you open your mouth and you use your teeth and your tongue and you talk just like you talk every day and open your mouth and let those sounds out. Once you let that first one out, the rest will follow. And you will say, this is that. This is what they told me about. You'll realize when you walk out of here today, I'm in the new lifeboat. I'm in the church. I'm ready to go. If Jesus comes before evening service tonight, isn't it kind of important to be ready? Why would you walk out those doors and go get dinner and forget about this today? Why wouldn't you say, I got to make sure I'm in the boat. I got to make sure I'm saved. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. It's not a fairy tale. He is coming. The skies are going to split open, and he's coming. I was on a boat one time. They told me to sit down. They told me to stop reaching over the side. Should never take a child with attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity on a boat. I kept putting my hand in the water, kept walking around. I remember so well because I was eating Cheetos and drinking orange pop. I have a vivid memory. They kept saying, sit down, because the water was getting rough. And sometimes when you're on the boat, the water gets rough. Life is not always easy. You first get in the boat, you think it's just, oh, we'll lay back here in the sunshine, wait to be rescued. Then all of a sudden, the storm comes. The waves start crashing in. Sometimes you got to bail the water out, because what's in the world doesn't belong in the boat. Somebody needs to bail some stuff today. Get your bucket, because you realize your boat is sinking a little. I was walking around, and all of a sudden a big wave came up, and the boat tossed, and plop, I went in the water. Oh, now we're in the ocean. We're in the Gulf. We're out in shark-infested waters. I had a life jacket on. I went under the water, you know, when you hit, you still go under. That's why I don't trust life jackets, because I've been there. You still go under. The salt water filled my mouth, and some got in my lungs, and I came up for air. I was sputtering and crying and screaming, and I, you know, that water was dirty. There's seaweed hanging from my hair. There's fish guts on me. I popped up, and you know what I saw when I popped up? They had said, Pull the anchor. Pull the anchor. Start the engine. The prop was spinning. They said, let's get out of here while we got rid of her. That's not what they did. Uh-uh. When I came to the surface, there's somebody already in the water beside me. There were hands over the side. There was a life preserver floating on the other side of me. Why? Because you're going to have help once you get in the boat. The church is going to rally around you. Somebody's always going to be there to help you when you fall. When you get out of the boat, we'll all be there with our hand out saying, come on, baby, I'll help you get back in. Hallelujah. If you're out of the boat today, don't make excuses. Somebody had to help me back in, and we'll help you. They hoisted me back up on that boat. Jean skirts weigh 1,000 pounds when they're wet. Thank God for modest swimwear. Did I just say that? Now they hoisted me back on that boat and they set me on a little seat there on the side. And what I experienced was so frightening because everybody on that boat ran to the other end. They said, she stinks. Fish guts, seaweed. We don't understand why she did that. I was so stupid. They looked at me with disdain. They said, why did you do that? Why'd you fall out of the boat? That was real dumb. No, they didn't do that. They got a towel and wrapped it around me. They dried off my face. They wiped off the seaweed. They hugged me. What was on me was where it was getting on them. They knew that if I just sat down a little while, the sun, S-O-N, would dry me out, would clean me up. We don't clean people up when they just get back in the boat. We let the Lord do that. We make up our minds. We're just going to love them. We're going to love everybody. You know, there's something about stepping into the area of compassion. You know, for many years, I ministered to people and I cared. I cared very deeply for their souls. And we're real good about caring. We care. We have programs. We have classes. We give out water bottles. We feed people at Thanksgiving. We take baskets around. We care. But the Lord smote me a while back, and he said to read the word. Every time I healed somebody, every time I touched anybody, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Could it be that we would start winning our world if we got in an altar church and we birthed compassion and we started operating with him working right through us? Our hands touching folks are really his hands. Our mouth is his mouth. Our feet are his feet. If we ever got into that realm of compassion where we wept for people and really loved people, we'd win our world. Compassion. Yeah, they dried me off. They loved me anyway. You know, not one person asked me, why did you do that? Why'd you fall out? Not one person. You know, you ask your kids when they do something dumb. Why'd you do that? Don't ask them that. They don't know why they did it. They did it because they wanted to. That's why people get out of the boat, because they want to. Quit asking people. Quit judging people. Let it be in their past and love them. Love them. You're out of the boat today. Get back in. You're not here by accident. The Lord's reaching for you. No man comes unless he draws them. So don't miss out while he's drawing you today. There's conviction in the house. I feel it. While he's saying, don't just leave today. Come forward and let me talk to you about this. Let me touch you. Make up your mind. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to save myself. Because when you get out of the boat, you see, you have to start swimming. In the boat, you can relax. You don't have to swim in the boat. You are out in that ocean, you got to swim or you'll sink. The devil is a hard taskmaster. You get out of the boat, now you got to tread water. And the deal is this, when you first get out, you're right there. You could just get right back in, somebody to help you. But the longer you stay out, the farther away you swim. Oh, yes. And you keep looking back at the boat thinking, I don't know how I'm ever going to get in back in church now. But I've been doing this and this, and now I'm addicted to that. I don't know how I'm ever going to get back in. That's the devil's trick. Because, see, what happens, there's a paddle on that little boat. We don't stay stationary, church. We're out there looking for folks, backsliders, new people, people that need to get in. We're out there looking for them. We're going to go where they are. Quit trying to just get people to come to church with you. Those days are over. You might get them to come. That's great. You can keep doing that, but don't only do that. Start talking to people where they are. Start having Bible studies in your home and cook for them and feed them. Go to coffee shops. Get people out where they're going to study this. People are hungry, but they're probably not going to come here first. They're going to love you first. You're going to make a friend first. Everybody can do that. Well, I'm not really that good in the Bible. I can't teach a Bible study. Do you have a personal testimony? You tell about how you got in the boat, that's all you need. It's really the best thing because they can't argue with that. What are they going to say? You're lying? So when somebody gets out of the boat and they're swimming farther and farther away, I want to give you a little idea of what happens. I was on the boat one day and the first mate was cutting up fish. He was throwing them over the side. I wasn't sitting down again. I was looking over the side of the boat, and the water was turning red. He was cutting up all of our fish we caught the day before. We caught little grunts and yellowtails the day before that long, one after the other, with just little hand spools. And he was chopping those up. I said, "Why are you chopping up all our fish we caught yesterday?" He said, "Be quiet and go sit down." I'm making up for all those days now. The water was turning red, and I'm still standing there. I said, "Why are you doing that? Why is the water red?" And all of a sudden, I saw a fin pop up. He said, "We're getting ready to shark fish. It'd be a real good idea if you sat down." I watched that fin. It circled our boat. All the way around, I watched it. All the way around our boat. I was intrigued. He said, "What I'm doing is I'm chumming the water. I'm chopping up those fish because the enemy of the sea, the old shark, lives down in the wrecks, the old ships that have wrecked. They go down in the deep, dark places. That's where the enemy dwells, is among the sin, in the perverse generation, the untoward generation. That's where the devil stays. That's where he wants to be. He loves that." He said, "But that enemy of the sea will come to the surface for one thing. The blood. He comes to the surface for the blood. You're a trophy of heaven. You're in the boat. You belong to the Lord. You get out of the boat, it brings that enemy. He begins to circle around you because he wants to come in for the kill. He wants to sift you as wheat, the Bible says. He wants to destroy you. And he begins to circle you. Just waiting for that opportunity. Just waiting for that time that he can kill you and take you unsaved to hell. But I'm here to tell you that he can only go so far." Why? Because as he is circling you, looking at you and licking his lips, and this is a trophy because they're covered by the blood of Jesus. That's a trophy. That my daughter that got out, my son that got out, that's a trophy. My baby that was in the boat that was serving God, they're a trophy. And that enemy, that old shark, that devil is circling. Why? Because of the blood. The blood covers them. But you know what? I got news for the devil. There's a praying mama. There's a praying daddy. There's a church that's praying. That keeps that hedge around our babies. We keep the hedge around one another. We pray that hedge until they get back in the boat. That's the power of prayer. Every prayer you've ever prayed is still going up as a memorial to God. Prayers never die. So don't stop praying. Keep praying that hedge. Because Jesus is coming, they got to get back in. They've got to get back in. Time is wasting. Time is at hand, friend. They got to get back in. You come to the keyboard and give them hope. I'm almost done. You're doing real good. I'm watching your body language. You're with me. The Lord's getting ready to do the miraculous today. There's going to be bodies healed today. There's going to be deliverance today. There's going to be people filled with the Holy Ghost today. Somebody's going to decide, I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name today. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that you got to save yourself. And you know, I've traveled, like I told you, for 28 years. I just want to tell you something the Lord brought to my memory today. Years ago, people came to the altar. A matter of fact, a story just came to me. An old gentleman in his 70s that had smoked since he was 14. He had given his heart to the Lord. He had repented of his sins. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name. He had been filled with the Holy Ghost. But he still had an addiction. He'd tried the varying methods that they had in the world for that kind of thing. But on a Sunday morning, in a service just like this, he came to the altar and he made a decision. I'm going to save myself. I'm not leaving this altar until that desire is gone. I am coming to get my deliverance. I want you to hear me, and I don't want to be misquoted. We are trying really hard to counsel things out of people. And every counselor in this room, I want you to know I back you up and I believe in it. And it is important. But I also want to put in place here today something that needs to be said. If all you do is counsel and go to groups and have therapy, you will fight this the rest of your days, whatever your addiction is. And what will happen is you'll spend all of your life trying desperately just to stay saved. Just save yourself. Just you. Just I really can't be effective for God. I can't really do anything for God because I'm just fighting every day. I'm in the boat. I'm out of the boat. I'm in the boat. I'm out of the boat. I'm reaching over the side of the boat. I'm bringing things in the boat, and I got to continually put them out. And it'll wear you out. Life, your life will wear you out. And it'll wear everybody around you out. And you won't have a happy life because you can't counsel this stuff out of you. You can get to the root. You can figure out why you started doing it. You can forgive those in your past that caused you pain. And all of that is essential. But once you make your way to an altar and you say, let this mind be in me, which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm not stopping until I am delivered. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to fight this on my knees. Because the same God that delivered back then is still delivering today. And I can get the victory over this. And I can live victorious in Christ Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that delivers. I watched that old gentleman take the cigarettes out of his pocket and he laid them on the floor. And I watched him begin to stomp in the Holy Ghost as an act of faith. And every time he stomped, he said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, everybody went and had dinner for the Hawk. He was still laying on the floor. The Holy Ghost all over him. Him trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what deliverance looks like? Deliverance isn't pretty. It doesn't look like this. It doesn't look like this. I've seen it too many times. And I'm going to tell you, we're recycling that around right now. I'm seeing it everywhere I go. People laying in the altar, shaking and quaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. Delivered from pornography. God giving them back their pure mind. Delivered from drugs and alcohol. Delivered from insecurity and fear and anxiety. Delivered from all of those things that the enemy puts on us. You know why it's cycling back around? Because Jesus is coming. His power has never been greater in the church than it is right now. Don't miss it. You run across somebody that has an addiction, they have a problem, they don't know how to be set free. Yeah, the first thing, well, we've got a counseling session. We can bring you to our church and we'll counsel you. No, the first thing is, I know a God that delivers. He sets free. The power of the Holy Ghost will set you free, my friend. We'll follow up with classes. We'll help them every way we can. We'll support him. But this is where it begins, with the whole idea of save yourself. Deliverance takes work, determination, completely signing your life over. I'm yours. I don't own myself anymore. You see, the soldier knows he's in that boat. He knows they know where I am. That little boat came with a tracking device. They cut it off when Pastor Shepherd bought it for me. I'm so glad they did. That'd be kind of creepy. But that tracking device let them know where that soldier is. The ship went down. He got in the boat. We know exactly where he is out in the ocean. And that soldier knows, they're coming to get me. They're coming to get me. Long before he sees them, he hears the rumbling in the sky. The helicopter. Church, we're hearing the rumbling. He's coming back for those who are watching. For his appearing. If you don't hear the rumbling, then you're asleep. You better wake up. You're not supposed to sleep in that boat. You might die. You stay awake and alert, watching. It's a rumbling in the sky, and all of a sudden, the helicopter appears right above him. They let down that rope with a little harness, a little seat, and he straps it on, and they lead him away to safety. You want to go to heaven? Save yourself. This is real. I've told you the truth this morning. You'll never be able to look at your maker and say, oh, I didn't know how. I was confused, Lord. I wasn't sure how. Every eye is going to see him. The sky is getting ready to split open. He's coming back. I was in Africa. 1,500 little orphans. When the Holy Ghost fell, all of them speaking with other tongues. The local people walking among them and listening to their tongues and verifying they're not speaking African, they're speaking in their tongues. I stepped down to the front row. It's the only place I could get. It was so packed. I stepped down to the front row. There was a little girl, 6 years old. I saw the tears rolling down her cheeks, her little hands raised. And I leaned down to listen. And she said, I love you, my Savior. I praise you, my King. I love you, Jesus. You are my King. I called the interpreter over and I said, come, listen. How does she know English? She's speaking English. When he leaned down and he listened, he bent over and began to sob and weep when he was listening to her, and he finally composed himself and he said, that baby doesn't know a word of English. She's speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I got to hear English from a little African girl that knew not one word of English. You think this isn't real? It's real. And it's essential. You must be born of water and of Spirit. Would you stand? I would like for the altar workers to line up across the front with me this morning. Come quickly. These are people that are instructed not to touch you, not to get in your face, but to protect you and to help you have a good Holy Ghost experience. They're going to know how to help you. Mostly they won't have to help you at all. If you need a healing, you need deliverance, you can confide in them. They'll never repeat it, but they'll know how to pray with you. Now, I would like for those who have never spoken with other tongues before to come and line up across the front. Don't make me come back there and get you. I want you to save yourself today. If there are children in the building that don't have the Holy Ghost, parents, walk them up. You brought a friend with you, turn to them and ask them, can I walk up there with you? Don't make them come alone. I know it's really hard. It's hard to leave that seat. But I want to tell you, you will not be sorry. There are some children that need the Holy Ghost. Come on and bring them. Just take them by the hand and bring them. There's old-fashioned conviction in the house. Now, church, I want to tell you something. Babies are not born without travail. We need about 10 people to hit their knees right now at your pew and begin to intercede. Without intercessory prayer, babies are never born. There's got to be laboring. I want anyone that wants a refilling of the Holy Ghost. You want to make sure you're in the boat. You want to make sure you're going to be rescued. I want you to step out of your seats right now and come to the front. Thank you, church. Thank you. It's a lot easier for people to walk up here with you. Oh, so the rest of you don't want to make sure. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Gather in. As they begin to sing, we're going to lift our hands and we're going to all be filled. We're going to all be filled. I want it again. I want it again.
Ihala Morama.